Hey everyone, welcome to another series of ASP.NET Core. With me today, I have Brady on On.NET Show to talk about SignalR and ASP.NET Core. Hey, welcome to another series of ASP.NET Core here on On.NET. And today we have Brady Guster to tell us all about ASP.NET and SignalR. How are you doing, Brady?
Doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's weird because we live like, what, two roads apart and we have to do it over Skype.
Man, yeah,
we should be doing it in person.
Kind of strange. It's like super weird because I was actually thinking about that. Like, it looks like we're like forever apart. Like, we have to be on a Skype call because we're like not in the same neighborhood. It's very strange.
Next time in the same Next room, time. We should be doing that.
Be good.
Hey, how's things? What's new in the ASP.NET Core world?
There's a lot of cool new stuff in the ASP.NET Core world. We are working on our .NET 5 release. We don't have a release date in the sand, you know, drawn yet. You all know it's November because that's, you know, we've already talked about all that stuff. But in terms of our preview releases, we've been, I think we're in four now. We're all the way through quite a series of preview releases. I know that because when I went to cdnjs.org today to like install SignalR through CDN, I accidentally installed the 5.0 preview. So you can do that today and you can party on it. And I know that there are a couple of really awesome new features, such as hub filtering. Hub filtering is a new feature that's going to come in where you can actually filter out traffic on the different incoming parameters on a hub method. And when Brennan Conroy was working on the doc for it, it's great to see the devs working on the docs, you know, even before the features are done. When he was working on the doc for it, we looked at a sample, the code sample. It's a little odd. And I said, well, let's just keep everybody's favorite SignalR demo into the mix. We'll do it as chat, and we'll use hub filters to filter out language. And that's exactly what we did. So
nice.
That's kind of a use case you can imagine for it. So that's kind of what we're kind of. One of the new features then we're doing a lot of, as we call it, Blazor loves SignalR related features so that we can make sure that we're, SignalR loves Blazor features so they can make sure that we're definitely serving the Blazor community because we want to make sure everything we're doing is, you know, putting Blazor first class.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some blog posts. I think I've done some other samples with you as well where I show the SignalR client being used inside of a Blazor WebAssembly type scenario.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a cool new paradigm that you can try out as well, is actually using, instead of using JavaScript on the client, use actual .NET client on the client. That's pretty fun.
Nice.
So Jeff Fritz is doing some stuff on his stream using Blazor on his stream and a friend's stream using Blazor and SignalR together for some very interesting streaming stuff. So you might want to tune into Jeff's show to kind of see some stuff going on there. But other than that, we're just trying to march towards 5 and trying to make sure that our customers feel supported in this very strange period of times. So,
great. And we expect SignalR to launch at the same time as 5, right? So whatever next iteration will be there will be part of 5.
Good. Exactly. So it's part of the, you know, Signal. That's actually one question that I get pretty frequently is what NuGet package do I need to do SignalR? You know, mm-hmm. If you just file a new project inside of Visual Studio, nothing. It's a part of the shared framework. It's just there, you know,
nice.
So you shouldn't have any problem. Now, if you want to use, like I said, the .NET client for SignalR and a Blazor a WebAssembly app, then you would need to bring in the, and I don't want to say this very carefully, very explicitly carefully, you bring in the ASP.NET Core SignalR client package. I want to make
right.
that clear because we've got the client package for OG SignalR, our framework SignalR, and then we've also got the ASP.NET Core SignalR, and we've got packages for each one. So just make sure when you're grabbing the package, you look for that word ASP.NET Core because then you know you get the right one.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Right.
They actually changed the protocol with SignalR Core. So.
Ooh.
Indeed. Do you want to like walk through? I know this is more the ASP.NET Core series, where we sort of walk through all the different features of everything in the stack, as if that's something you could do inside of our lifetimes. But then we kind of go through how you use each one and kind of nail it from kind of a high level.
Yeah.
I know we never do this on Channel 9, but how about I show you a deck, a presentation, and we can like actually walk through some of the features and talk about it together.
So a deck and a demo, I mean, that's a win-win. Let's do this.
Let's do it. Cool. So let's just talk about what SignalR is kind of at a high level. Back when Fowler and Damien and the team created SignalR, it was really necessary. WebSockets was not that ubiquitous yet. There weren't a lot of browsers and clients that supported it. So the reason that SignalR came to be was that the guys wanted to create essentially an abstraction so that it could figure out the best possible way to emulate real-time in an HTTP environment. So if you think about HTTP in real-time, those terms sort of conflict with one another. You know, in the old days, like your project manager came to you and he said, hey, I want you to build it so that the user doesn't have to hit F5. I just want it to update. You're like, well, I'm not going to do that. That's not really how HTTP works. So you'd probably do something like this, where you'd make a request and you'd wait for something to happen and you'd make another request. I've done this forever, long polling. You just make a request, you wait, you make a request, you wait, you make a request, you wait. It's very chatty, but that kind of gets the job done.
It's called like hammer polling, right?
Yeah, hammer polling.
Hammer it until you get it.
Exactly. Or you could use, what is it, meta equiv refresh. I can't believe I remember that. I'm showing my age now. Mads Christensen, please forgive me. So, the next thing that came around was this concept of server send events, which is when the client makes a request to the server, you come up with an event source, and whenever an event happens, it actually sends messages back. And that's great, but it's not real time. And what we really want was real time. Real-time really came about when we got WebSockets. And in WebSockets, you would essentially make a request to the server. Do you support WebSockets? If so, I'm going to upgrade my protocol. Server would say, yep, I support WebSockets. They'll switch protocols. And now you're partying in real-time. So, and messages can just go back and forth in real-time. Now, this is the way WebSockets work. But what David and Damien thought was, we need to write SignalR such that not only we support folks that don't have WebSockets yet, but that whenever there's a thing that's better than WebSockets later, we can snap it in. So that was kind of the idea, was to create that abstraction so that you could, do things. Let me actually kind of show you what that looks like in terms of like how that would work on Azure. All right, so I'm going to flip over to my browser here using the handy new Edge tools. So I'll go here to MoveShip 01, which is just a simple little web app that I've got running up in Azure. And I'm going to go ahead and click browse real quick. And what you'll see here is it's not going to do anything. And this is actually one of those times that Christos and I can do this demo together because we're not actually standing next to each other. It's not going to work yet because I don't have any SignalR dialed in yet. So that's what I want to show you, is how it works. So I want to build a game. And the idea behind my game is whenever I move the ship around the screen, if I click it and drag it, it's going to drag. But then I want that one to move too. And it's not. Because I haven't wired up SignalR yet. There's no concept of these two being able to communicate with one another to go back and forth on the wire. Luckily, I've got code that kind of walks through all this, and I've got a GitHub repository that I'll give you so you can walk away from this in a minute. So the idea about the way the page works today is that I've just got this simple HTML page, and what I do is whenever I click down on the ship, I want to set it up so that it can be moved around. And at this point, I go ahead and I enable it. And then whenever I move it around, if I'm still holding down the ship, I'm just going to follow me around as I move it around on screen. This is just what I'm doing to actually move it around on my screen. Now, that's in the O1 segment of the project. Now, in the O2, the second step of the project, what we've actually done is a couple things here. First thing we've done is we've brought in SignalR on the client side. And the way I do that, personally, is I just use CDNJS because they keep our stuff up to date. So if you've got the 5.5.0 stuff is already out there. Now I'm going to skip over this hub connection builder concept just for a minute because you first kind of need to understand what a hub is. So the idea behind a hub literally is exactly what it sounds like. It's this thing on the server that all the different clients can connect to, and it is the hub between them all. So in this case, I can actually call the MoveShip method. And whenever I call it, what I'm going to do is turn around and I'm going to bounce events out to all the other clients. And the event name I'm going to bounce out is called ship moved. And whenever the clients get the ship moved event, they're going to do essentially the same thing that I'm doing whenever I move the ship around. They're just going to move the ship around on their screen as well. So this is an idea where at this point, since I've got that hub, I can reach out using the SignalR hub connection builder, and the syntax is exactly the same, minus a little capitalizations here and there, between the JavaScript client and the .NET client. And for the most part, the Java client with a couple of nuances just to make sure that we're sticking with the Java language. But essentially, you would create a new SignalR hub connection builder You give it a URL. This URL is wired up inside my startup CES the same way I would wire up anything else in ASP.NET Core. I just map the hub, give it the name of that hub that I just created, and then I give it a URL. And at this point, the SignalR Hub Connection Builder will reach out and build a connection. Down here, I'll start that connection. Now, this is really just a point where I've got a variable in memory that knows how to reach out and make a connection. I haven't done anything yet until I call the start method. When the page loads up, I actually reach out, start that connection up, and now I'm actually connected to that WebSocket or to that SignalR Hub using that URL. And when I move one of them, when I move the ship around on one screen, it will pass messages back up to the server and then bounce them back out to other clients so that the other clients will see it move around too. Now, the only thing I've done between step one and step two is actually add the SignalR stuff. So I've added the hub, I've wired it up in startup, and then I've added the client code necessary to actually make it all work. And I think I had, didn't have it open. So what I'll do is I'll go to MoveShip02, because MoveShip02 is actually the example app for this phase of the project. And what I'll do here is hope that Christos isn't getting crafty over there. And what I'll do is I'll just open this up and I'll click it. And now when I move it around, you can see that it's actually going to move around, which is pretty cool.
That was so simple, right? What, five lines of code just to create the hub and emit the messages, and then on the client side to start the create the connection and start it up.
Pretty much.
And you got it wired. That's fantastic.
It's fun. Isaac, our mutual friend Isaac, at one point he pinged me and he goes, "Hey, I want to learn SignalR." And his wife made me a great T-shirt. Thank you, by the way. But he reached out to me and goes, "Hey, I really need to really learn SignalR." I said, "It's not that complicated. It's on and invoke." So here's on, this is how I handle my events. And then down here, I could invoke a method on the hub, or I could send a method to send a call to the hub. But what I want to show you here is I've not enabled WebSockets yet. So if I just open up my DevTools and I zoom in right here, you'll see that I'm running on SSE. So this is actually a server sent event connected up to my Azure Web App. The reason for that is Azure Web Apps disable WebSockets by default. So what I'm going to do is, before I do the wrong thing, I want to go into the right resource group. So here's my MoveShip2. I'll go into MoveShip2. I'll go into configuration. Go to the general.
That's good to know, right? So it's disabled by default, and you need to enable it explicitly. Otherwise, you're not going to take advantage of it. Okay,
right.
Good.
And you can enable it by default, but have to remember that, like, you're going to have the normal HTTP traffic going to your site, and now you're also going to have the WebSocket HTTP traffic going to your site as well. That'll be important later when we talk about performance. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. So here, all I've done is I've dialed this in. I've changed my setting on my app. I haven't changed any code. I'm just going to hit refresh. And now you'll see that I'm normalizing the game hub, and now you'll see right here I am connected on a WebSocket. And all I had to do was enable WebSockets, and SignalR knew it, and we're off and running. So that's pretty cool.
The nice thing about SignalR is that it will choose the protocol that works best for your solution without you having to explicitly say that. I think it's configurable, if I remember correctly. But
it is indeed.
If you let it operate by default, it will choose the best one. So if your clients support WebSockets, then boom, you have it. If not, they will try to fall back into the best one. And I love about that, right? You don't have to know the magic. It will do it for you. So Damien and David have done a great job there.
It was a great thing. And the whole team has really picked up. But yeah, like since then, like it's great. Because like if you think about it now, like everybody's got WebSockets, so it's probably always going to go with WebSockets. Mm-hmm. But before we had WebSockets, this was a dream. You know, it's like super valuable. And it still is. Like, we've got the Azure SignalR service, which is what I was alluding to before. But I know you only gave me about 15 minutes. So I want to keep going. One thing you got to remember, okay, is this thing called, we like to call the tunnel effect on the team. And the tunnel effect is this concept of, like, if you lose your connection, guess what? You're going to lose your connection to your hub, too. Mm-hmm. SignalR is not durable. It's not like Event Grid or Event Hub or Service Bus. It's as durable as is the underlying connection. So if that connection gets broken, so does your SignalR connection. All right, so automatic reconnections. You've already seen this, which is how we would actually create a new hub or a new hub connection back to a hub. But we haven't talked about this yet, adding this with automatic reconnect. Now, when you add the with automatic reconnect, what it does is it will just start to do a reconnection back to that server automatically. And you can actually can configure that however you want to. So in this case, I could actually pass a series of integers. Those are the number of milliseconds it's going to wait in between bursts or in between reconnection attempts. It's in the JavaScript documentation, how many times we wait or how many seconds we wait in between tries. And there's also documentation on how you could write your own implementation of that if you wanted to. On the .NET client, you could use integers as well as you could use time span dot from seconds over and over and over again. So you could like elongate the amount of time you wait in between each one. But what's better than the fact that we even gave you with automatic reconnect capability is that we gave you on reconnecting and on reconnected. And these are methods that you can actually use. One of Jeff's viewers was actually having a conversation with me about this the other day. You can use on reconnecting and on reconnected triggers to basically flag for the user when something happens so that they're not connected and they can't do something with the app. Let me give you a sample of what that would look like right now. So that's what our code looks like in phase two. In phase three, we're going to add the automatic reconnection. And with automatic reconnection, literally all I do here is I add the dot with automatic reconnect. And in my case, I've added a whole bunch of intervals because I know I might sit here for a minute and talk through the demo. And what I've also done is I've added the on reconnecting and the on reconnected event handlers here so that what I'm doing is I'm changing the way the ship looks. So if I happen to lose my connection, I'm going to turn the ship red or turn it off. And if I, if I'm connected, I'm going to turn it green. So what I would do here, I'm just going to right click and say open in terminal. And we're just going to do this. I'll just .NET run this. I'll show you how to do a quick SignalR demo if you ever want to show how with automatic reconnect works. It's easier from the command line than it is from Azure. No offense to Azure. You know, I love you. So if I go here, now you saw what happened. It turned red and then it turned green.
Yep.
So I'm just going to go ahead and open this up so we can see this real quickly. And what I'll do is I'll flip back to VS Code. I'm going to need to minimize this so you can see what happens at the same time. So what I'll do over here in my terminal window is just stop the server, and then restart the server again.
Oh, red. Look at that.
You see what it's doing over here?
Yeah.
And see how my on reconnecting method happened, and it turned it red and said, hey, we can't do anything. This is when you're floating, and now we're connected again, and it's green.
That's fantastic.
You like that? So you don't even have to do anything. You could use with automatic reconnecting, you can party on it. So that's kind of a good thing. The last thing I'll talk to you about, and then we'll be done with all this lovely screen share and we can chat again, is the concept of client targeting. So with client targeting, what you've seen me do so far is this concept of clients.all.sendMessage, blah. You know what I mean? Like I can fire an event.
Yep.
Thanks to Anthony Chu for these lovely slides, by the way. I have to give you credit each time I use these. They're glorious. But we can target individual clients that we want to reach out to. So in SignalR speak, a client is an actual device. Like a real, like one browser tab connected back to the actual server. So in this case, I can actually target myself, or I could target you. I could just say, send a message to, Christos. And if you're on your phone, your laptop with two tabs open and whatever else, you're going to get a message on all those devices all at the same time because we've identified you as a user. Okay.
Yep.
You can even target a group. So I could target everybody over here or everybody over there if I wanted to, just by using the groups term, and you would add people to groups however you want to. And I could even target one individual connection if I want to. Now the one caution that I would tell you, SignalR is you're already looking at it and thinking I could use this in 50 different applications already. I can't figure out how I wouldn't use it. You've given me the Uber hammer. Okay. Nothing's perfect. So what I want to call out right now is that, if you want to scale out SignalR, you want to do something like a web farm, there's something you need to know about it. The dark side of SignalR. SignalR hubs are server bound. That hub lives on my server. So if I have multiple clients and they're all connected to one server, it's going to work out okay. Every time a client sends a message, it's going to bounce off the server and back to all those clients, and everything is going to be cool. But what if I scale it out to a server farm? Well, only when I make a call to an individual server, I'm only going to get messages back to clients that happen to be connected to that individual server. You see the problem here. So in a round-robin scenario, these individual clients are only going to talk to one another unless this one were to connect here and this one were to connect here, and then they can talk. But that's the luck of the draw. That's not good. We don't want that kind of, you know, lack of concurrency. So what you do is you drop in a backplane. Thank you, Dev Intersection. You drop in what's called a SignalR backplane, and this was prior to the Azure SignalR service. You would drop in a backplane, and essentially what you have is all of these are now behind these servers. So when a SignalR message comes in, it's going to hit that backplane, and then the backplane is going to force it to go through all the servers and back to all the clients connected to all those servers. Backplanes were pretty cool. They're also really hard to set up. They're really, really hard to build. So now you don't have to. Now we have this concept called the Azure SignalR service. And in the Azure SignalR service, you can offload all of those WebSocket connections directly to the SignalR service. So what will happen is you'll actually make an outbound connection to the app server. Oh, let me just show you right now. You would reach out to your ASP.NET Core server. You would establish a connection to that hub. And then what ends up happening is on the server side, we route all of that WebSocket traffic over to the SignalR service instead of you having to send it up to your web app. So we save you performance on your actual ASP.NET Core web app by shipping all that WebSocket traffic off to the Azure SignalR service, and then they handle all the WebSocket stuff and they handle all the scaling. And then you can individually scale there if you want to.
So quick question. Do I still write my code, my server-side code in my web app, and then I use the SignalR service as my backplane? Or do I add my code?
Exactly. So you really don't change anything in your code. When you right click publish, it will actually tell you, hey, we see that you're using Blazor or SignalR. You should think about adding the SignalR service. And the team was smart enough to figure out how to just wire that up. Essentially, if you have a connection string in your configuration for your app back to the SignalR service, it just works. You can also use the SignalR service outside of the .NET bandwagon. So you could use the Azure SignalR service to use our Node client or our Java client or eventually our C++ client, because they're working on one right now. And there are some open source clients as well, one written for Swift, actually written by a former member of the SignalR team. So that does exist out there, and you can actually use these tied to functions as well.
Nice. Yeah, I know there's a binding for functions that Anthony has been working on, and it's fantastic, right? Out of the box functionality. Wow, so many exciting stuff, Brady. I mean, yeah, ASP.NET Core is great, and SignalR is even greater. I've been using it from the 1.x days to now, and having the service on Azure is fantastic. Where do people go to learn more about SignalR? What's next?
Well, what I would definitely recommend folks do, if you go to aka.ms/SignalR/docs, that's a direct link to the ASP.NET Core SignalR documentation. And then we have some great documentation on the function side about the functions bindings for SignalR that you mentioned. Thank you again, Mr. Chu. I'm going to give you a URL to the repository for this demonstration. And you can put that in the show notes as well, so people can actually clone the code and party on it if they want to. And feel free to send in a PR issue or pull request.
Awesome. Open source and available today. Start using it, guys. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.